Good morning. This is our last of our four-part series on philosophical themes in Bereshit. And so I want to look at a difficult text today, and that is Mechirat Yosef. And I want to specifically look at the philosophical theme of free will, which is a little bit problematic from the end of the narrative. So the two basic questions that I want to pose at the beginning are, number one, who sold Yosef? Which you might think, oh, that's already very obvious from the text, but I'm going to show you some Mefarshim which would question that assumption. And number two, did they actually have free will? And the reason why I asked that question is because of a few psukim at the very end of the narrative in Perek Mem Hei of Bereshit. So all of us have been taught in elementary school that, of course, the brothers are these villainous characters who have sold Yosef, their own flesh and blood. And there's many reasons for understanding this as the literal explanation of the text, right? They had motives for this. The Tanakh articulates Yaakov's favoritism of Yosef over the other brothers. Yosef describes his dreams to his brothers, which put them in a condescending position relative to him. So we definitely understand that they have motive or they have reasons for wanting to get rid of him. But I want to offer another approach this morning, based on some classical Mefarshim, to try to uncover what really transpires in the narrative. And I also want to look at a particular philosophical concept of free will, which will shed light on the narrative. In order to do this, I want to start actually at the very end of the narrative, at the end of Sefer Bereshit, in Perek Mem Hei, which will elucidate the philosophical problem of free will in light of the earlier narrative. So if you look at source number one with me in Bereshit, Perek Mem Hei, we see the context here is at the very end of the story, where Yosef finally reveals his identity to his brothers in Mitzrayim. So we see here in Perek Mem Hei Pasuk Dal, and these are the challenging psukim, Vayom Yosef el Achav Gushuna elav yagashu, Vayom Arni Yosef achichem Hashem mechartem otim Mitzrayim. So Yosef says to his brothers, they approach him, and Yosef reveals his identity. I am Yosef, your brother, whom you sold in Mitzrayim. You sold me to Mitzrayim. Okay, so it seems to be somewhat explicit from the literal understanding of the text. The Achim seem to be responsible for the sale. Let's look a little bit further. Va'ata, and he tries to reassure them now. He says, now, al tetzvu, don't be sad, va'al yachar b'nechem, don't be mad at yourself, don't be angry, ki mechartem oti, heina, because you sold me here, ki l'michya shalachan Elohim l'knechem, because in order to sustain, in order to provide life, did Hashem send me here before you? Furthermore, the philosophical problem of free will arises again in the next two psukim that I quoted, pasuk chet, va'ata lo atem shalaftem oti heina, you did not send me, he says to his brothers, you did not send me here, ki Elohim, but Hashem rather did, v'simi la'al z'paro la'adon l'chol beito Moshe b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, and Hashem has made me as the father to Paro, meaning head of his whole household and ruler of all of the land of Mitzrayim. A little bit later in the same parak, va'atem chashavtem alai ra'a, you thought, or you intended to do bad to me, Elohim chashava l'tova, but Hashem has intended all of this for good, l'man oso kayom hazeh l'chyot amrav, in order for me to be able to sustain, or to be able to provide life for this mighty nation, this massive people. Okay? So, from Yosef's perspective, it seems clear, he mentions a number of times in those psukim that the brothers sold him. But did they actually have free will? Because Yosef himself articulated, God made it so that Yosef ended up in Mitzrayim in order to save himself, in order to save his family, in order to save the Mitzrayim. So did the brothers really have free will, or were they just facilitating God's plan? And furthermore, Yosef may have thought that the brothers sold him, but is this necessarily the case? There's an interesting debate between Rashi and Radach on one hand versus Rashban and Fiskuni on the other as to what actually transpired in the sale. So let's have a look at the parak in its entirety to understand the context of the sale, and then we'll just try to uncover the ambiguity within the text of the actual Mechira. So have a look at source number two. This is the beginning of parak Lamed Zayin. So this is several prakim before what we just read in source number one. The beginning of this parak sets up the setting of the whole narrative. Yaakov was living in Canaan. Yaakov, Yosef ben so it's talking about Yosef. It gives a little bit of background. He's 17 years at this time. He's 17 years old at this time. He's a ro'eh. He's a shepherd. And he brings back dibatam ra'a olavehem. He brings back bad reports about his brothers to his father, thereby engendering the animosity or their tension or their resentment of him. Israel havet Yosef mikol banav ki ben zukunim hu lo v'asa lo ktonet pasim. So we see Yisrael, Yaakov, loves his son Yosef more than the other brothers. He's a ben zukunim, a son of his old age, and he makes in this famous ketonet pasim, this technicolor coat, to show his adoration for his son. V'yiru achav ki oto ahav bihim mikol achav yisnu'u oto b'lo yachlush devro l'shalom. So the brothers, understandably, have a lot of animosity, jealousy for Yosef, because Yosef is beloved or favored by the father, and this causes them to hate him, and they're not able to speak peaceably about him. So then we see their jealousy for him is even furthered in the next few psukim when we see he reveals his dream. So Yosef has these two very famous dreams, which he recounts to his brothers. Let's have a look at the first two, and then we'll explain why he recounts them. Ve'yomer lehem shimuna chalom hazeh asher chalamti. Listen, my brothers, to this dream that I had. Hine anachnu ma'almim alumim betoch hasadeh, v'hine kama olamati, v'gam nitzva, v'hine tisibene olamatechem tishtachavel olamati. So he says, he describes the dream that he had. He describes he being represented by a sheaf of wheat, and his brothers being represented by other sheaves of wheat, and his sheaf of wheat rises up, and his brother's sheaves of wheat all bow down to him. And we see that the symbolisms of the sheaves of wheat, right, this chalom is a divine revelation of something that's going to happen in the future. His sheaf of wheat represents the fact that he is going to be the sustainer, the provider of food. The brother sheaves of wheat are bowing down to him as the subjects would bow down to the king, recognizing their dependence on him. Now we see that the brothers are understandably upset about this revelation, upset about this dream. They see it as a very haughty on his part. So they said, are you going to rule over us? Are you going to lead us? Right? This just added to their tension. This added to their hatred for him. And he retells them another dream that he has. He recounts a second dream here that not only are the brothers represented in the dream, but his father and his mother are represented also. And the brothers aren't just represented, but they're just described as the kochavim, representing not just the achim, the 11 brothers, but also the fact that Bnei Israel are compared numerous times in Tanakh to the kochavim. They're going to be as numerous as the stars of the sky, showing that Yosef is going to be the sustainer not only of the brothers, but he's going to be the sustainer of the future generations of Klal Yisrael. So Yosef must have known that telling his brothers these dreams would add to their animosity for him. There's a number of mefarshim that try to describe his a little bit more noble intentions or his noble motivations of articulating these dreams to his brothers. The Vilna Gaon, for instance, argues that Yosef understood these dreams to be nevuot, to be prophecies. And therefore, when God reveals something in the future, the Navi has the responsibility or the obligation to reveal the divine messages of the nevuah. Furthermore, the Chizkuni also argues that Yosef thought that if he could convince his brothers that his superiority over them was divinely decreed, they might not resent him quite so much. And lastly, Or HaChaim, along similar lines, argues that by showing the brothers that he was destined to sustain them, that they were destined to be dependent on him, this, he hoped to show them that they would that it would be unwise for them to deal so inappropriately or so meanly with him, and that they should afford him more respect because of their future destiny. So we see, however, that the brothers don't internalize these ideas, and we see that these dreams, the second dream as well, just adds to their animosity for him. And not only do they resent this idea of the dream, but we see even Yaakov, his father, is upset at the message. Look at Pasuk Yud. V'separ el aviv ve'el achav v'yigar bo aviv v'yomer lo ma chalom hazeh asher chalamta havo navo aniv imcha v'achecha l'shtachavo l'cha arza We see that even Yaakov rebukes him slightly, and he says, "What am I, your father, your mother, and me and your brothers are all going to bow down to you?" So we see that the brothers are extremely jealous as a result. The brothers were very, very jealous. And then we see the rest of the narrative begins to transpire. With that background, we then see the motive or their sentiments towards Yaakov, which leads us to the actual Mechira. So let's see how this narrative unfolds. V'yalchu achav lirot et atzon avim bishchem. V'yom Yisrael ala Yosef, halo achecha ruim bishchem lecha, v'ashalchecha aleihem v'yomer lo hineni. So the brothers go out to shepherd their father's son in Shechem. And Yisrael, Yaakov, sends Yosef out to go look after them, to go bring him back a report as to what's going on with the sheep. V'yomer lo, lech na re'et shalom achecha v'et shalom hatzon, v'shiven et davar v'shalchem me'em mechavron v'yavo Shechema. So he sends him out, Yaakov sends Yosef out to Shechem. V'imse'il ish v'hinei to'a v'sadeh, v'shal'il ha'ish le'mor mat v'kesh, v'yomer t'chai anochim v'kesh, v'gidan ali evol hem ro'im. ויאמר האיש נשאו מזה, כי שמעתי אומרים נלכה דותנה, וילך יוסף אחר אחר במצאים בדותן. So Yosef follows his father's guidance. His father sends him out. Yosef goes and acquiesces, follows his father's request, and he goes to find his brothers, to look after them, to find out what's going on with them and with the sheep, to bring back a report to Yaakov. And we see there that Yosef approaches somebody in the field. He gives him the directions of where he saw the brothers went. The brothers went to shepherd in this place called Dotan. So Yosef goes and follows them there. So now look at the brothers' reaction. Vayomer ha'ish. I'm sorry, pasuk yitchet. Veru oto merchok, uveter mikrav elehem, vitnaklu oto lamito. So Yosef has gone down to follow them to Dotan, and the brothers see him from afar in Pasuk Yud Chet, and before he can actually approach them, Vitnaklu oto lahamito. They have so much resentment, they have so much jealousy for him, they see him from afar approaching them, and they conspire to kill him. Vayomer ish el achav. One brother says to another, Hine balacholamot hazeh ba. They say derisively, look, here the dreamer is coming. Va'ata, look at their initial original plan. Luchu, v'nahargehu, v'nashlichehu b'achar ha'barot, right? It just said two psukim earlier, v'nitzkalu oto lamito, that they conspired to kill him, so now they give the actual plan. Now let us go, v'nahargehu, let us kill him, v'nashlichehu, and let us throw him, b'achar ha'barot, in one of the pits. Va'amarnu, and we will say, Chaya ra'a achalatu, that some wild animal ate him. V'nir'eh mayu chalomotav. And look at how they describe at the end here. And then we'll see what's going to happen with his dreams, right? He thinks he's going to be superior over us. We'll see that he's not going to actually achieve what he thinks he will. V'shma ru'uven yetzileu mi'adam v'yomer lo nakenu nafesh. We see after this original plan by the brothers, Ru'uven, the bachur, interjects. And Reuven wants to save him. And therefore he says, Lo nakenu nefesh, we shouldn't strike his soul, meaning we shouldn't kill him. Vayomer instead, Vayomer lem Reuven, pasukaf bet, Al tishbachu dam, hashlichu oto el habor hazeh, asher b'mibar, v'yad al tishlachu bo laman etzilo oto mi'adam v'shivu el aviv. So Reuven says, don't shed his blood. Instead, and you have to look very carefully at the nuance of the pasuk, the nuance of the words to see the difference. Instead, we should throw him el habor hazeh, into this particular pit, asher ba midbar, which is in the midbar, not just any pit that's in Dotan, which we saw was the original intention of the brothers in pasuk haf, but let us throw him into this pit alive in the midbar. V'yad al tashlechu bo, and we shouldn't set our hands against him. We shouldn't kill him ourselves. Leman hitzil oto miyadam l'shiva el aviv. And the Tanakh just reveals Reuven's intention to us and not to the rest of the brothers. The Tanakh reveals to us, why did Reuven make this suggestion to throw him alive into Habor Hazeb Mibar? In order, Laman hitzil oto miyadam, in order for him to later come and save him, Lashiva Laviv, so he can return him to his father. And we see that the brothers found favor in this plan. V'yihi kasher ba Yosef al achav v'yavshitu et Yosef et kutunato et kutunat hapasim asher alav. So when Yosef actually made it down to Dotan, the brothers removed his coat from him. V'yikachuhu v'yashlichu oto havara v'habor reik ein bo mayim. So they took him and they threw him, as Reuben had suggested, alive. It doesn't say they killed him. They took him and they threw him into this boar, into the particular boar that Reuben had articulated in the midbar. And the boar was empty, meaning he didn't drown in the water. The boar was empty. Rashi argues that there's snakes or serpents in it, but from the text, the boar was empty. Okay, just pointing out some specifics also in this pasuk. The brothers then go after throwing Yosef into the pit, and they go and they eat, and it's then that they see this Orchot Yishmaelim, this caravan of Yishmaelim coming from Gilad, carrying all sorts of different spices on their way to Mitzrayim. From this Pasuk, in Pasuk HaPay, it doesn't articulate exactly where they sat down and they ate. And this is going to become important in a few Pasukim. Either there's two possibilities. Either they sat down and ate next to the pit in the Midbar, in the desert, or perhaps they went back into Dotan, where their sheep were grazing at their campsite. We're going to look at the differences of those two approaches in light of the machloket of the Mefarshim a little bit later. Okay, let's just finish up the rest of this part of the narrative. V'yomer Yehuda, it's at this point when they saw from afar the Orchot Yishmaelim, it's at this point that now we see another evolution of the plan. The original plan was to kill Yosef, the next, and throw his body in the pit. The next plan, which we saw was based on Reuven's interjection, was that they shouldn't kill him, but they should just throw him alive into the pit. And now we see the third interjection. This is Yehuda. Yehuda suggests, what benefit, what profit is there to kill our brother? And this shows the Achim's intention to let Yosef die in the pit and then to cover up his blood. L'chu, so look what Yehuda suggests. L'chu, v'nim kurenim l'yishmaelim. Let us sell to him to the Yishmaelim. V'yadeinu al dihibo. And therefore we won't be responsible for his death. Ki achenu b'sarenu hu. Because he is our flesh and blood. Yehuda is appealing to their moral conscience, their sense of brotherly responsibility. Vishmu achav. And once again, the brothers were dissuaded from carrying out the original plan. They acquiesced to Yehuda's plan. Okay, so let's just discuss the context and the evolution before we go on to what is really the heart of the matter, which is really the ambiguous pasuk hafchet. So before we do that, the context and evolution of the plan that led to Yosef's sale, we saw in pasuk gimel, Yaakov's favoritism of Yosef, and then Pasuk Dalet describes the brothers' resulting hatred for him. We hear in Psukim Hey through Yud, Yosef telling the brothers of his dreams, which put them in a condescending position. And once again in Pasuk Dalet, we see the brothers' reaction of jealousy towards Yosef, which provides them with an explicit motive, which is articulated in Psukim Yud Chet through Kaf. They conspire to kill him, and they say derisively, we'll see what's going to happen, what's going to become of his dreams. Now, even though the brothers had a very understandable motive, it's possible that the brothers really had a little bit more noble intentions. They recognized that they were the chosen family, and they recognized that in the past, certain children were chosen and certain children were rejected. Abraham chose Yitzchak and rejected Ishmael. Yitzchak chose Yaakov and rejected Esau. So the brothers may have felt that it was their spiritual responsibility to expel Yosef due to his behavior, because he wasn't acting appropriately to be the chosen son. And therefore they may have felt that Yaakov, their father, was mistaken for favoring Yosef, just as Yitzchak had been mistaken for originally favoring Esau. So they could have surmised that just as it was appropriate for Yaakov to deceive his father Yitzchak in order to get the bracha, in order to be the chosen one, so too they may have deduced that it was appropriate for them to intervene and deceive Yaakov into thinking that Yosef was dead so that the appropriate sons would be chosen. Immediately, however, in the next pasuk, we saw Reuven intervenes, suggesting a change in the plan, and he knows he's not going to be able to successfully dissuade his brothers, and therefore he doesn't tell them of his true intentions, but instead suggests to throw him into that pit so that he could later know, number one, where to retrieve him from, and number two, so that later it would be in the Midbar, far enough away from Dothan that the brothers wouldn't see him going to retrieve him. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So they are trying to further God's will then.
That could have been the rationale. We don't see that necessarily in the text, but...
If to do that means sacrificing someone like that, yeah.
Okay. That could be. It could be. And I think that I think that's a reasonable explanation, that perhaps they didn't necessarily learn that from the previous one, but perhaps not actually killing him, but rather just putting him, that passive versus active might be easier to swallow. Okay, so the Tanakh reveals only to us Reuven's true intentions, and Reuven intended to go later retrieve Yosef. So the brothers agreed to Reuven's plan because from their perspective, they were still getting rid of Yosef, but they wouldn't have actively killed him, just rather passively let him die. So the brothers go then and have lunch, and we see that it's unclear where, either in the Midbar, right next to Yosef, as he's been thrown in the pit, or maybe they went back to Dothan. And a reason why you could argue perhaps they went back to Dothan, it could be supported by a later pasuk, which we see in when the Achim express regret in Mitzrayim. They say, "V'yomru ish al achiv, aval ashimim anachnu al achinu asher reinu tzarat nafsho b'itchanenu aleinu, v'lo shamanu al kein ba'a aleinu atzara zot." They say later in Mitzrayim that they are guilty because they heard their brother screaming and they didn't do anything about it. And we see this also is furthered in a couple of the mafreshim below. So perhaps they didn't want to eat right next to their brother in the Midbar when he's screaming and crying for his life. Maybe they just let him die there from their perspective. They went back to their sheep in Dothan to enjoy their lunch. Now it was then that Yehuda spotted the Yishmaelim and he makes another change to the plan. And he says, "What benefit is there in killing him or letting Yosef die? Let us sell him. We can make a profit." And also it appeals to the moral conscience of the brothers. So it questions whether, who has a better suggestion? Who has the better intentions? Is Reuven's suggestion to throw him into the pit more noble? Is it a better suggestion than Yehuda, who says to sell him? Now, it's possible, even though at first glance it seems that Reuven had a better intention because ultimately he wants to go and retrieve him and save him and bring him back to his father's house. But is that really a great plan? Because ultimately the brothers are still going to be just as jealous of him. They're going to want to rise up and they're going to conspire to kill him once again. So Reuven's plan, even though it seems to be noble because he wants to save him and he wants to go and retrieve him and send him back to his father's house, that wouldn't necessarily help ultimately with the problem that Yosef has with his brothers. Perhaps one could argue that Yehuda's intentions are actually quite good, even though it seems to be a little bit harsh that he wants to go and sell his brother. Perhaps that he recognizes that Yosef would not be safe in his father's house anymore, and getting rid of Yosef by selling him to the Ishmaelim, as opposed to bringing him back to the father's house, that would be a better way of dealing with Yosef in the future. Now, just putting this in perspective in terms of ancient Near Eastern culture, ancient Near Eastern literature explains that adolescent slave trade was not anomalous in this time, and therefore this whole slave trade of Yosef, or the whole mechira of Yosef, was not something so out of the ordinary. Selling people to foreign countries was a very common practice during this time, and the first humans to be enslaved in ancient Near Eastern times were in fact foreign captives. So imported foreign slaves made up a very substantial part of the slave population in the ancient Near East. And that's why Yosef is referred to as an Ivri, as a foreigner, in Potiphar's house when he is sold as a slave in Mitzrayim. Now furthermore, in ancient times, minors were very commonly sold into slavery. They were considered property. And the chief source for the supply of slaves in Egypt was war with foreign countries, But peaceful slave trafficking was also very well established, and both Syria and Palestine fed the market. So the sale of Yosef into the Egyptian slavery accords very well with what we know about the importation of slaves from Palestine at this time. So up until now, the text seems somewhat clear. The brothers have the explicit motive and the plan to sell Yosef. So now let's get back into the Pasukim, and we'll see the ambiguity in Pasuk Kavchet. Have a look at Pasuk Kavchet. V'ya'avru anashim midyanim. So we just saw in the previous Pasukim that Yehuda saw the Yishma'elim from afar, and he has the plan that he articulates to his brothers to go sell them, sell Yosef to the Yishma'elim. So then we see, however, in the next Pasuk, V'ya'avru anashim midyanim. Socharim. These Midyani merchants were passing by, v'yimshechu, and they, it doesn't articulate who, and they drew him up, drew Yosef up, v'ya'alu et Yosef min abor, they raised Yosef from the board, v'yimkaru et Yosef, and they sold Yosef liyishma'elim, to the Yishma'elim, b'esrim kesef, for 20 pieces of silver, v'yaviu et Yosef mitzrayma. And they brought Yosef to Mitzrayim. Okay, so a number of questions we have. Number one, Pasuk of Zion articulates the Yishma'elim. However, here in Pasuk of Chet, we see Anashim Midyanim. What's the discrepancy here? Additionally, in Pasuk of Chet, all of the verbs are just described without a subject. And they drew him up. And they raised him up. And they sold him. It doesn't say explicitly anywhere in Pasuk Kavchet that the Achim drew him up. The Achim rose him. The Achim sold him to the Yishma'elim. Okay, so the ambiguity of the text allows for some debate among the Mefarshim. All we see from the actual explicit text of the Pasuk is these Midyanim were passing by. They, who they is undetermined, drew Yosef up. They rose him from the pit. They sold him to the Yishma'elim. So who are these they? Who are they? Is it the brothers, as we saw from the basic context and as is usually understood on the literal level? Or is it the Midyanim, or is it the Yishma'elim? So Rashi and Radak take the classic approach based on the context. They refer, they argue, to the brothers. And the brothers were eating in the Mibar next to the pit. That's how they interpret that previous pasuk, v'yashvu l'achol lechem. The brothers must have sat down next to the pit, ate their lunch, saw these people coming by, these merchants coming by, and the brothers drew Yosef out of the pit and sold him to the merchants when they had the opportunity. And then it was these merchants who then took Yosef to Mitzrayim. So let's have a look at Rashi and Radak, who both argue that the understanding of the text needs to be that the Achim are responsible for the sale. Rashi says in source number 3, V'ya'avru anashim midyanim, zohi she'ra acheret. So the Midyanim, as opposed to the Yishma'elim, are a different caravan of merchants. And therefore the Tanakh is telling us that Yosef was sold a number of times. B'nei Yaakov, Rashi explicitly says, B'nei Yaakov, draw Yosef min habor, from the pit, v'yimkuruhu liyishma'elim, and they sell him to the Yishma'elim, the Yishma'elim sell him to the Midyanim, and to the Midyanim, and the Midyanim sell him to the Mitzrim. So according to Rashi, the brothers are the actual sellers, and they sell him a number of times to the Yishma'elim, to the Midyanim, and ultimately the Midyanim sell him to the Mitzrim. Similarly, in source number 4, Radak also argues that the brothers are in fact the sellers. Anashim Midyanim, Heim ha-Yishma'elim, Shezecher ki Heim ha-Midyanim. Ha-Midyanim, Heim b'nei Keturah, v'im Keturah zeh Hagar, hinei b'nei Yishma'el, u'v'nei Keturah achim, v'im ein Hagar, kulam hayu b'nei Avraham, v'yitchatnu ha-Mishpacha ela ki'im ela, ki krovim hayu. V'kar'am hinei Midyanim, Midyanim v'Yishma'elim, ki Midan u'Midyan hayu b'nei Keturah, va'amar ha-Midyanim machru oto el Mitzrayim, וימשכו ויעלו וימשכו בחבלים אחרי יוסף מושכוהו ועלו מן הבור מכרו לישמעאלים. So Radak argues a little bit differently from Rashi in that he says the Midianim and Ishmaelim are actually the same people. And he derives it from the idea that the Midianim were B'nai Keturah. And if Keturah is Hagar, and Rashi quotes that Keturah, Avram's third wife, is really Hagar, it's really just Avram's second wife. If Hagar is really Keturah, then the Ishmaelim and the Midianim, who are explicitly mentioned in the text as B'nai Keturah, they're the same people. And so the brothers sold Yosef to these Midianim / Yishma'elim. If you're going to argue, Radak adds, that Keturah was not the same person as Hagar, it doesn't really matter. The Yishma'elim and the Midianim are still among the same family because they're both the B'nai Avraham, and therefore they intermarry together, and therefore the Yishma'elim could be equated with the Midianim in the text. What Radak does agree with Rashi on is that he explicitly argues in that last line of the Radak that the Achei Yosef Meshchuhu Valu Minabar Machuru LiYishma'elim, that the brothers actually physically drew Yosef up and physically sold him to the Yishma'elim. Okay. So, we saw from the Radak and Rashi, their explicit understanding of the text is that the brothers were the sellers. However, Rashbam and Chizkuni offer another approach and argue that the brothers did not actually sell Yosef, even though we saw from the previous part of the narrative that they had a desire or an intention to do so. Look at source number 5. Rashbam argues a different approach. V'yavru anashim midyanim, b'toch shayu yoshvim l'achol lechem, v'rechokim hayu ketzat min habor, levilti achol al hadam, midyanim hayu l'shmeilim shara'u, v'kodem shaba'u hayishma'alim, avru anashim midyanim acherim darach sham. So the brothers were far from the pit. They were sat down and they ate because they didn't want it to eat upon the blood of their brothers. And v'kodem shaba'u hayishma'alim avru, before the Yishma'elim came, another caravan of Midianim came, derech sham, along that way. V'ra'uhu babor, and they saw in the pit, they saw Yosef in the pit, u'mishachuhu, u'machruhu ha-Midianim li'Yishma'elim. The Midianim, according to Rashbam, are the ones that draw Yosef from the pit, and they're the ones who sell him to the Yishma'elim. V'yish lomar sh'achim lo yadu, and Rashbam argues that the achim, the brothers who were in Dotan eating, were none the wiser. They didn't know what actually transpires. So how does Rashbam explain when Yosef later in our first source in Perek Mem Hei says to his brothers, who you sold me to Mitzrayma? Yesh lomar shehagoremet ma'asehem siya b'michirato. It just means that the brothers throwing Yosef into the pit, which is explicit in the text, that goremet, that caused Yosef's ultimate sale. Zenerali lefi omek derech pshuto shel mikra. This seems to be really what the real meaning of the text. Ki v'yavru anashim midyanim mashma al yedei mikra v'hei machruhu liyishma'elim. The midyanim happens by, and they're the ones that drew him up and sold him to the Yishma'elim. Va'af im ba'oto lamar v'machru et Yosef liyishma'elim ki achenu ki achiv machruhu. אַף קיין צריך לומר שהם סירבו למדיינים זכרים ומשכו מן הבור ואחר כן מכרו לישמעאלים. So the Rashbam, and we're going to see the Chizkuni as well, they argue that the brothers returned to Dotan, and even though they had the intentions to sell him, the Midianim beat them to it, they happened upon Yosef, and they are the ones that drew him out and sold him without the brothers' knowledge. And therefore, when Yosef says, you sold me to Mitzrayim, it's just that he meant they caused him to be sold to Mitzrayim by initially throwing into the pit. Perhaps also you can interpret, you sold me to Mitzrayim, what Yosef later says, perhaps that just means that Yosef thought the brothers had facilitated the sale. The last time Yosef had seen the brothers was when the brothers had thrown him into the pit. He knew that the brothers were angry or were jealous of him. So Yosef could have surmised when the Midianim drew him up out of the pit. He could have thought, like, oh, maybe my brothers facilitated the sale. Maybe they made the exchange, and maybe they told the Midianim where I was and drew him, and therefore they drew me up from the pit. So according to the Rashbam, the Midyanim were the sellers. Now the Chizkuni agrees with this approach. Have a look at source number 6.